Hi, am I on the air?
Yep.
Fuck.
Thanks.
Do I have everybody's attention now? Do I have everybody's attention now?
Don, I got you.
Don, I do I have everybody's Sunday attention night. Now?
You put them cameras on me, then you must be willing to get that heart touched. This a must-see feeling. The news ain't good, then it must be villain. So I say it's ad-grounded, I don't trust these ceilings. Spread a cushion nose, and I'm on your ear. Highest necks on the cloud, am I in the air? Sunday nights, round time, I flex my bed of Voltron. Transform to DX Don, mega and off-scene. You probably think I'm nice, cause I flow like a stream to your wireless device. And the smoke full of steam on any given night, how short like a piece of any given slice. And for the latest and what is best about, I tune in and tune the rest out, Don. You gotta tell them, am I in the clear? Is this thing gone? Am I on the air? On the air?
Hi, am I on the air?
Well, what is going down, everybody? Welcome back to Am I on the Air? We got a brand new episode here for you. What's Am I on the Air, you ask? It, of course, is your one-stop shop for all the latest and greatest when it comes to entertainment news. What we do here is we bring you up to speed, a week-by-week update, bringing you all the latest in entertainment news, TV world, movie world, reviews. We break it on down for you here on Am I on the Air. I'm your host, Don Mega, and I welcome you once again to the show. Tonight, it's season 15, episode 9, and our show title is Oh Hi. And that, of course, comes from our movie review of the week, which is The Disaster Artist. Oh Hi, Mock. So if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you've seen The Room, you know what I'm talking about. We will get to that in just a minute. We are broadcasting live here from the Red Dragons Radio Studios here on this glorious Monday night, December the 11th, ready to rock and roll, bringing you up on another week's worth of entertainment news. So, first of all, got a couple plugs. Definitely want to plug my boy Lynx and his podcast, Way Off Topic. Way Off Topic is a really cool podcast that's just kind of just talks about whatever, because that's the whole point. It's why it's called Way Off Topic. There is no topic. We just talk about whatever the hell. And I was fortunate enough that he hit me up over the weekend and said, hey, would you come on and do a new episode with me? So I am the featured guest on the latest episode of Way Off Topic, and it's a good hour and a half discussion of just whatever. I can't even tell you what was discussed. We just bounce all over the place. We talk about some of the best movies of the year, things we're looking forward to, a little bit of Star Wars. Just we're all over the place. It is definitely a Way Off Topic. So if you head on over to our great affiliate website, which is reddragonsradio.com, just look for the show Way Off Topic. There's a link there for it. It is one of our featured podcasts, and yours truly is on the latest episode there. I think the title of the episode is DX Don Mega's Back. So yeah, and after that episode, I don't know when I'll return. we'll have to see him poach me in 2018 for that one. So that's kind of the first piece of news I wanted to kind of get out of the way. Once again, I also do want to pimp out Am I Still on the Air? If you're looking for a really cool spoiler breakdown of Justice League, that is on the Am I Still on the Air special podcast that we did with myself, Peeps, and Friggins, where we broke down Justice League, everything we liked, everything we didn't like, and everything in between. So check that out. Am I Still on the Air? It's available on our homepage on amiontheair.com and also on reddragonsradio.com as well. And lastly, are you following me on Stardust yet? Are you? Because you should be. Stardust is an awesome little video review app where you can review TV shows and movies in a nice little 30-second nugget. And I am on this app and I use it several times a week. We do trailer reviews on it, which there was a couple really big ones last week. We talked about Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom. We talked about Alita Battle Angel. We talked about the new Ready Player One. And just put one up earlier tonight for the new Spider-Man animated movie Into the Spider-Verse. So lots of trailer reviews on there, TV reviews, of course, movie reviews. So Stardust is the place to get it. It's available on iOS. It's available on Android. Download it. If you're a fan of this show and you're a fan of reviews and news, like I said, it's the best app to have because you can get a very quick 30-second nugget on whether you should check something out or not. And, you know, and even if you don't take my word for it, there's thousands of other great users on this app that you can check out their reviews on that as well. But if you do download the app, follow me first. You can follow me at simply Don Mega on the app, and I would really appreciate it. So that's my little Stardust plug. And with that all being out the way, let's talk about our movie review. So I'm going to talk about The Disaster Artist. This is a very interesting movie that stars James Franco and Dave Franco, based on a true story. Back in 2003, there was this little indie movie made called The Room. And no, not Room with Brie Larson, but The Room. I was trying to explain this to my wife the other night, and she's like, "We saw Room." I'm like, "No, not Room, The Room." This was a very odd movie that was made back in 2003 and is simply regarded as one of the worst movies ever made. Well, there's a story to be told behind that, and that's what James Franco does here, is he basically takes the best friend of this character, Tommy Wiseau, and Tommy's best friend wrote a book about the making of The Room and basically his friendship with Tommy. James Franco adapted the book and made the movie The Disaster Artist, which basically is just the true storytelling of how this movie The Room was made, how it all came together, and just kind of what happened since. It is a fascinating story. I did not see The Room. I've heard about it. I knew what it was. It's something I wanted to check out, something I really wanted to check out before I saw Disaster Artist. I just didn't have the time to do it. So I went in a little bit blind. But I knew about everything that kind of went into it. And this movie floored me. It was so good. It was so funny. It was smart. It was quirky. All the characters that pop up in this thing. Now you got to think, it's a James Franco movie. And, sorry, I totally lost my track. I was talking and my doorbell rang, so I had to pause it and go see what the hell's going on with that. No one was there. Very creepy. Very, very scary movie style. Alright, so anyways, I totally forgot where the hell I was at. But basically, like I said, this is the story of how they made this movie. Being a James Franco movie, what I was trying to get to was that you have a lot of the usual suspects pop up in this movie. You have Seth Rogen, you have Paul Scheer, Judd Apatow pops up, and a lot of other ones I won't spoil for you. These are all people you see in the advertising, but there's several other people pop up, and you're like, oh, that's cool. So, very, very cool from a cameo aspect, but it's not just that they're cameos for the sake of cameos. They're playing real characters in this story. And that's what's really cool about it. James Franco, if you've ever seen this Tommy Wiseau guy and how he acts, if you've watched him in any interviews, if you've seen The Room, James Franco kills it. He is a dead-on, spot-on impression of Tommy. And it's just fantastic. Like I said, the general consensus of this movie is that it's about Tommy's character and Dave Franco's character moving out to LA to try to become movie stars, and it's not really happening for them. So Tommy Wiseau says, you know what, let's make our own movie then. I'll finance it, I have money, I'll pay for it, we'll make our own movie then. And they make it, and it's called The Room, and it's a horrible piece of shit. But it's a really cool story, man, and it's getting a lot of award buzz, and it's kind of funny that this movie that's considered one of the worst movies ever might be turned into something that can win, you know, Golden Globes and Oscars and stuff. So it's kind of crazy how it went full circle like that. But everyone's fantastic in this thing. Everyone does a great job. The movie's hilarious. It is hilarious all the way through. And I'll tell you, stay through the credits. There's literally a post-credit scene, and it's really, really funny. I loved it. I absolutely loved this. It's probably, overall, one of my favorite movies of the year. I'm so intrigued by this thing. I actually tried to watch The Room last night, and I fell asleep about 5 minutes into it. So I still have not seen The Room. I plan to try to give it another whirl, but it was pretty bad, man. Those first 5-10 minutes, I was like, oh my god, this is like nails on a chalkboard bad. But I have an affection for it based on the Disaster Artist now, so maybe there's something to watching it in reverse like that. But overall, I absolutely loved it. It's in limited release right now. It's going to slowly start opening in more and more theaters, and I say go check it out. Whether you've seen The Room or you haven't, my brother-in-law went with me, and he has seen The Room, so he got a kick out of a ton of the scenes because he's like, that's exactly how it is in the movie. And they do a really cool side-by-side thing at the end of the film where they play a scene from the real movie and then a scene from the fake movie. And it's pretty cool how spot-on it is. Like I said, I think you're going to love this. This is a pretty genuinely all-around loved film. It's like 94-95% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got about the same exact score from a fan rating. And I absolutely loved it. So I give this one 4 out of 5 Don Megas. 4 out of 5 stars here. I absolutely love this thing. I'll buy it when it hits Blu-ray. I will totally love to watch it again. Hopefully I've seen The Room by the time I watch it. I'll try not to fall asleep next time. But it was great, so I highly, highly recommend that one. Okay, now that the movie review is out the way, one big piece of news that dropped today was, of course, the announcement of the nominations to the 75th annual Golden Globes. Golden Globes is basically our first step getting ready for those Oscars. And all the Golden Globe nominees were announced today. So very cool that we're doing the podcast tonight because we get to talk about it. So I'm not going to go through every single category. I'm going to obviously skip some of the just kind of bland ones that not a lot of people like. And we'll talk about the majority ones here. I'm just going to blaze through it pretty quick. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but we definitely got to talk about the nominations. And if I have an opinion, I'll leave it here. So here we go. Best Motion Picture Drama. The nominees are Call Me By Your Name, Dunkirk, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I really got nothing to say here on this one here. I haven't seen any of these movies. The only one I'm even interested in is The Shape of Water. So we'll move on. Best Performance by an Actress in a Motion Picture. The nominees are Jessica Chastain for Molly's Game, Sally Hawkins, The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Meryl Streep for The Post, and Michelle Williams for All the Money in the World. I think Jessica Chastain looks like she does an awesome job in Molly's Game. It's really the main movie I want to see on this list, so I'm going to go with that. Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture Drama is Timothy Chalamet for Call Me By Your Name, Daniel Day-Lewis for The Phantom Thread, Tom Hanks for The Post, Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour, and Denzel Washington for Roman J. Israel, Esquire. Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy, The Disaster Artist, woo woo, we just reviewed it and it's nominated for Best Picture. Love it. Let's go for that one, man. We talked about this one here and I still find it very odd it's even in this category. Remember, this is for Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy, and the next nominee is Get Out. Yes, the Jordan Peele horror movie, Get Out. Why it's in this category is bullshit. They just needed to throw it in here somewhere, and it's just, it's very upsetting, because this does not fit this category in any sense of the word. So we have The Disaster Artist, we have Get Out, we also have The Greatest Showman, the new Hugh Jackman movie that comes out in a couple weeks, I, Tonya, and Lady Bird. So I'm definitely going with The Disaster Artist here. I did love Get Out, but it does not deserve to win Best Musical or Comedy, so I'm going to go with Disaster Artist. Best Performance by an Actress in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy is Judi Dench for Victoria and Abdul, Helen Mirren for The Leisure Seeker, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, and Emma Stone for Battle of the Sexes. Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy, Steve Carell for Battle of the Sexes, Ansel Elgort for Baby Driver, James Franco for The Disaster Artist, Hugh Jackman for The Greatest Showman, and Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out. This is a stacked category right here, man. I can go for any of these dudes. But right now, since I'm so hot on The Disaster Artist, I'm going to give it to James Franco, man. He was so good. Best Motion Picture Animated, Boss Baby, The Breadwinner, Coco, Ferdinand, and Loving Vincent. I've seen The Boss Baby. It's not that bad. It's pretty funny. I don't think it deserves to win. Ferdinand comes out this weekend, so I'll probably take my daughter to check that out this weekend. And Coco, I'm going to definitely have to go with Coco overall. That was a super solid movie. Obviously, we reviewed it on the last episode. Made me cry, so Coco deserves the win there. Best motion, we're going to skip that. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in any motion picture. Mary J. Blige for Mudbound. Hong Chow for Downsizing. Allison Janney for I, Tonya. Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird. And Octavia Spencer for The Shape of Water. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role in any motion picture. William Dafoe for The Florida Project. Armie Hammer for Call Me By Your Name. Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water. Christopher Plummer for All the Money in the World. And Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. What's pretty fantastic about this category right here is Christopher Plummer being nominated for All the Money in the World. This is the role that he just replaced Kevin Spacey in and literally just shot his scenes like a month ago and got inserted into this movie. And now he's nominated for a Golden Globe. So Kevin Spacey, oh, that sucks for him, man, because he's at home going, why? But congratulations to Christopher Plummer, man. That is just crazy fantastic. That he just gets put into this new movie at the last second. They take out another actor, and now he's nominated for an award. Best director for motion picture, Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water, Martin McDonagh for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, Ridley Scott for All the Money in the World, and Steven Spielberg for The Post. Let's see. Sorry, I'm skipping some of these blah ones. Best television series, drama. Nominees are The Crown, Game of Thrones, The Handmaid's Tale, Stranger Things, and This Is Us. Ooh. I know Game of Thrones will probably win this one, but I'm going for Stranger Things or This Is Us. That's my two picks. Best performance by an actress in a television series, drama. Catriona Balfe for Outlander, Claire Foy for The Crown, Maggie Gyllenhaal for The Deuce, Catherine Langford for 13 Reasons Why, and Elizabeth Moss for The Handmaid's Tale. I would go with Catherine Langford for 13 Reasons Why there. Best performance by an actor in a television series drama, Jason Bateman for Ozark, Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us, Freddie Highmore for The Good Doctor, Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul, and Liev Schreiber for Ray Donovan. Ooh, another hard one, man. I love Liev Schreiber and Ray Donovan. I love Sterling K. Brown and This Is Us. I'm going to lean... Probably Sterling K. Brown deserves it more than anybody, but I'm going to throw it towards Jason Bateman for Ozark because I was so impressed by that show. I loved it, and I thought Jason Bateman did a great job. Best television series, musical, or comedy goes to Blackish, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Master of None, Smilf, and Will and Grace. Oof. I would lean between Blackish and Master of None, probably leaning more towards Master of None. Best performance by an actress in a television series, musical, or comedy, Pamela Adlon for Better Things, Alison Brie for Glow, Rachel Brosnahan for The Marvelous Miss Maisel, Issa Rae for Insecure, and Frankie Shaw for Smilf. I would go with Alison Brie for Glow on this one. Best performance by an actor in a television series, musical, or comedy, Anthony Anderson for Blackish, Aziz Ansari for Master of None, Kevin Bacon for I Love Dick, William H. Macy for Shameless, and Eric McCormick for Will and Grace. I would go with either Anthony Anderson for Blackish or Aziz Ansari for Master of None. Best television series, limited or motion picture made for television. Nominees are Big Little Lies, Fargo, Feud, Betty and Joan, The Sinner, and Top of the Lake, China Girl. Best performance by an actress in a limited series. Jessica Biel for The Sinner, Nicole Kidman for Big Little Lies, Reese Witherspoon for Big Little Lies, Jessica Lange for Feud, Susan Sarandon for Feud. Best performance by an actor in a limited series, Robert De Niro for Wizard of Lies, Jude Law for The Young Pope, Kyle MacLachlan for Twin Peaks, Ewan McGregor for Fargo, and Jeffrey Rush for Genius. Best motion picture by an best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a series or limited series goes to Laura Dern, Big Little Lies, Anne Dowd, The Handmaid's Tale, Chrissy Metz, This Is Us, Michelle Pfeiffer, The Wizard of Lies, and Shailene Woodley for Big Little Lies. And lastly, best performance by an actor in a supporting role, limited series, or motion picture made for television, David Harbour for Stranger Things, Alfred Molina for Feud, Christian Slater for Mr. Robot, Alexander Skarsgård for Big Little Lies, and David Thewlis for Fargo. So there you go, my friends. That is all the nominees, well, most of the nominees, for the 75th Annual Golden Globe Awards. The full list is, of course, on our Twitter and our Facebook page for you to dive into, but those are all the main categories. I really only skipped, like, screenplay and score and foreign films. So most of this stuff I read out to you. But like I said, full list is available on all our social media. All right, so that's the big news that dropped today. Now let's go and get caught up with all the rest of the news out there. So right after we did last week's show, a couple big items dropped. One being a Star Trek movie is in development from Quentin Tarantino, which I was like, what, are you kidding me? Yes, reportedly, Quentin Tarantino, he came up with an idea for a Star Trek movie. He called up J.J. Abrams. They went over it. J.J. was like, dude, this sounds great. Let's set up a meeting. They got a meeting together. They sat down. They talked about it. They loved it. They've created a writer's room. They're trying to put a script together right now. He wants to make it rated R. It's going to be this R-rated Star Trek movie. I don't know. I think that sounds great, but I know a lot of hardcore Trekkies do not like the fact that they're going rated R and more adult. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know where this is going to fit in the timeline. I don't know where this is going to fit with. Is it going to be the Chris Pine kind of Star Trek? Are we doing something totally different in the universe? It's going to be very interesting, my friends. But something is coming from Quentin Tarantino. And if the script comes in and he loves it, he will direct the movie. This is going crazy, man. But we'll see where it goes. We'll definitely keep you posted. Another thing, going back to last week's show, we talked about Bryan Singer. He was directing the new Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody. And we had talked about how he was suspended from the movie indefinitely because he had basically vanished and they didn't know what was going on. They were trying to figure it out and everything had kind of been put on hold. Well, literally like a couple hours after we did last week's show, Bryan Singer was fired from the movie. Yes, he was fired from the Queen movie. They didn't really state why or what. They just said he is off the project and they were moving forward. I do have some more news on that that we'll get to in just a bit. But that's kind of how the news kind of kicked off. Coming right off last week's show was we went from production suspended to him being fired off of the project in whole, which was crazy because they only had like 2 weeks left of shooting. So things must have been pretty damn bad. Let me see here, sorry. Alec Baldwin is in talks to host a new ABC talk show. We have the first trailer for Black Lightning that's going to be on the CW on January 16th, so you can check out that trailer there. Bryan Singer, sorry, going back, like I knew I was going to end up going right back to it. Bryan Singer, after he was fired, of course, had to come out and release his own statement to what was happening, and so this is what he said, and remember, this is just Bryan Singer coming out and stating his side. He released a statement, and this is what he said. Bohemian Rhapsody is a passion project of mine. With fewer than 3 weeks to shoot remaining, I asked Fox for some time off so I could return to the United States to deal with pressing health matters concerning one of my parents. This was a very taxing experience, which ultimately took a serious toll on my own health. Unfortunately, the studio was unwilling to accommodate me and terminated my services. This was not my decision, and it was beyond my control. Rumors that my unexpected departure from the film was sparked by a dispute I had with Rami Malek are not true. While at times we did have creative differences on the set, Rami and I successfully put those differences behind us and continued to work on the film together until just prior to Thanksgiving. I wanted nothing more than to be able to finish this project and help honor the legacy of Freddie Mercury and Queen. But Fox would not permit me to do so because I needed to temporarily put my health and the health of my loved ones first. Okay, so that is what Bryan Singer said about it. Pretty crazy if you really break it down that way. Once again, this is going to be hard to speculate into because I'm a big believer of there's three sides to every story, right? Yours, mine, and the truth. That is my life philosophy on everything. I see what Brian's saying, and if that's the truth, then Fox fucked up here. Fox made a mistake, and it's pretty jacked up to not allow this dude to finish out his movie with just 2 weeks remaining over health concerns. I don't think 2 weeks would have made this movie not hit its deadline or put them in any kind of weird spot. On the other hand, I don't see Fox doing this if that was truly the case and there had been no other issues. I think Brian's behavior on set sparked outrage. I think people were complaining. There was rumors of people threatening to walk off this film. And I think after him no-showing for several days and just being unprofessional, I think Fox just said, you know what, we got a movie to make and we need to move forward with what we're doing. I think if Brian had handled it the proper way and after Thanksgiving said, hey, one of my parents are sick, I need to fly back home, I need to take care of this for, you know, until the new year, can we just put pause on everything? I don't see why Fox wouldn't do this. In a side note, you know, kind of like when Zack Snyder's daughter committed suicide and he was going to have to step away from Justice League, Warner Brothers said, we will pause the movie, we'll push it back, we'll wait for you. And it was Zack that said, no, go ahead and just continue the film. It's all good. You know, I don't want you to have to push it back. But they were willing to wait for him. So you're telling me Fox wouldn't do the same, especially when we're only talking about a couple weeks? Something's fishy here. I think there's definitely more than meets the eye, but, you know, for me, and I'm definitely giving you guys the news, I just give every side of the news and I let you make your own decisions about it. So that's kind of where we're at on the Bryan Singer and Queen Bohemian Rhapsody movie side. Moving along, have you checked out Marvel's The Runaways yet? It's getting really good. Check that one out. I got a bunch of reviews for each episode up on Stardust so far. Last week was the mid-season finales for all our favorite CW shows. Supergirl was a fantastic mid-season finale. I was floored by it. I absolutely loved it. The mid-season finale for Flash was really awesome. Then they started to lose me with Legends of Tomorrow. It started to go downhill a little bit. And then the Arrow season finale was just meh. I guess when you had such two heavy hitters with Supergirl and Flash out the gate, it made the other two just look weak because they couldn't do anything to hold up to those two. I think Arrow's been having a fantastic season, so don't let me throw that off. But it was just a pretty poor mid-season finale, which I'm still not a fan of mid-season finales. It's such a joke to me that we take like a month and a half off for like no reason. It just seems so weird. We didn't do this back in the day, but I guess it's just the norm now, right? But it gives us good episodes to watch, so I'll take that. Congratulations to Ed Sheeran. He's Spotify's most streamed artist of 2017. You know, it wouldn't be a normal week on this show without talking about somebody who's been getting in trouble with getting accused for some kind of molestation or sexual assault or even rape now at this point. But Danny Masterson has been accused of rape. You know him from that 70s show, and he was currently on Netflix's show The Ranch. Well, Netflix has fired him. Yes, Netflix has cut ties with Danny Masterson amid these rape allegations. Danny says they are not true. We're definitely living in a society where everybody's quick to pull the trigger and just fire people over any kind of allegation, which kind of sucks. You know what, I don't feel bad for these dudes if the shit's true, but I do feel bad for them if we're so quick to just take every allegation as fact. They definitely need to look into these things. So, you know what, I'm just going to leave this here. That's why I don't like to dive into this stuff. It's very tricky. But Netflix has cut ties with him. We also have an article up with Danny Masterson responding to Netflix's decision to cut ties with him over on the show The Ranch. There's a new season starting of it that they had already previously filmed, so he is on that portion. But the following seasons after that, they will write his character out. We have the first official teaser trailer for a new HBO wrestling documentary for Andre the Giant, which is pretty cool. Will Smith is set to host a new Darren Aronofsky National Geographic series called One Strange Rock. Man, it's a new 10-part series, and damn, you're going all out getting Will Smith to do it, right? That's crazy right there. Ridley Scott says that the third Alien prequel will have less alien and more robot. I guess we are moving forward now with a third Alien movie. It didn't look like we were, but maybe if they go lesser budget. And this just sounds dumb to me, man. I was not a fan of Prometheus. I barely liked Alien Covenant just a little bit more. And now they're saying less alien, more robot? I don't want more robot. It's an alien movie. Give me aliens. This is so stupid. Edgar Wright says that they are currently in negotiations to do a Baby Driver 2. They're in the works. They're looking at it, coming up with an idea. This is massively big news, which is that Disney is super close to closing that deal to buy Fox Entertainment. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. They were in negotiations. Talks fell through, and we were all sad. And then Comcast stepped in, and they started to negotiate. And then Disney got back in the deal. Well, now Comcast has dropped out. And from what we're hearing, they are very close on closing the deal. And we could actually get an announcement this week on Disney getting it. Now, remember, they're not buying Fox as a whole. They're buying Fox TV and film division, basically. So all their TV titles and their film titles will belong to Disney, whereas Fox will keep Fox Sports and Fox News. So they'll hold on to some of that other stuff. They're going to hold on to their network, you know, things like that. But it's the TV and the movie titles that go back to Disney. And of course, all most of us care about is having the X-Men and the Fantastic Four and all those crews back under the fold of the MCU. And now we can get Wolverine in the Avengers, and we can get Galactus as a villain in the next Avengers film, you know, different things like that. You know, my only big question mark is, what do we do with like R-rated movies like Deadpool? Because we know Disney is not keen on releasing R-rated content. So we'll have to wait and see what they kind of come up with stuff like that. But it's looking like it's going to happen, man. So it could be very exciting. So we'll see how this all goes down. Filming has officially wrapped for M. Night Shyamalan's new film Glass, which of course is the sequel to Unbreakable and Split. Looking very forward to that next year. We have the first trailer for Please Stand By, starring Dakota Fanning and Patton Oswalt. By the way, that Disney deal to buy Fox is worth $60 billion. Ooh, baby. Wish I had $60 billion. Rian Johnson, who directed Star Wars The Last Jedi, we told you he's working on a brand new Star Wars trilogy. Well, everybody's saying, oh, I bet you it's going to be about the Old Republic. He says, no, it's not going to be about the Old Republic. Like I said before, man, and I knew it wasn't going to be about the Old Republic, because he said from the beginning, this is a brand new story with new characters in another part of the universe that he's writing from scratch. I don't think it's going to be based on anything you've seen before. So stop trying to link it to existing properties, all right? John Travolta's new film, Gotti, has been pulled by Lionsgate's release schedule. Looks like they've sold it to another distributor, and it's going to actually come out next year now instead of this week, basically. Alice Eve is joining the cast of Iron Fist Season 2. She's awesome, so I'll definitely take that addition. Courtney B. Vance is joining Julia Roberts in Peter Hedges' new film, Ben is Back. We have your first story details for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I won't read them out loud because some of you might think it's a spoiler. Kurt Russell is set to suit up his old Saint Nick in a brand new Netflix Christmas movie. That's awesome right there. Congratulations to Warner Brothers Pictures as they topped the $5 billion mark at the worldwide box office, led by Wonder Woman. That's pretty awesome right there. Fox is reportedly making a film of Turtles All the Way Down from John Green, who also wrote the book The Fault in Our Stars. So they're looking to adapt his new book, Turtles All the Way Down. Google's reportedly pulling YouTube from the Amazon Fire TV and Echo show. Mary Elizabeth Winstead has joined Aaron Paul in the cast of the new film, The Parts You Lose. Alex Proyas says he doesn't think The Crow should be remade, and we got an article up with an exact quote from Alex Proyas, who is the director of the original Crow, talking about just how this was such a personal film for Brandon, and it doesn't deserve to be remade. He says it's not even about being remade or rebooted. He doesn't like that the new actor is going to be playing the same character that Brandon Lee played in the original film. So he goes on to make some pretty decent points. Now, for most of you know, The Crow is one of my all-time favorite movies ever, and if anybody should be protective of this movie, it's me. And I honestly, I will always hold that movie true and dear to my heart, but I'm totally looking forward to a remake and see what somebody could do with it this day and age, especially with the team they got going now and Jason Momoa. I would love to see it come together, so I don't think it takes away anything from the Brandon Lee one, for me at least. Severe Goodison, Goodnesson, I'm sorry, I don't know how to even say this dude's name. Severe Goodnesson has been cast opposite Claire Foy in the new Girl with the Dragon Tattoo movie, The Girl in the Spider's Web. He's going to be playing the character that James Bond man Daniel Craig played in the David Fincher movie a couple years ago. So I don't know much about him, so hopefully he does a great job. I don't know, right? He's a Norwegian actor. I don't know much about him, but I always believe in people's casting because they obviously saw something in the audition. Black Mirror Season 4 released a new trailer from Netflix. The show will debut at the end of this month. I'm looking so forward to this, man. Love Black Mirror. The new Predator movie will be focusing on Predator technology and is definitely a follow-up to the original Schwarzenegger film, which is pretty awesome. We have the first trailer for You Were Never Really Here, starring Joaquin Phoenix. Again, that's getting a lot of buzz right there. Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone reboot has been greenlit by CBS All Access. So, links, there you go. We kind of talked about this on his show when I was on it the other night. He's a big fan of the Twilight Zone. He even has a Twilight Zone podcast that may be coming to Red Dragons Radio soon. So looking forward to a reboot. I think Jordan Peele is a great person to get behind it, and I'm down to check this one out for sure, if I sign up for CBS All Access, that is. Warner Brothers has set the $6 billion Man movie for 2019. I feel like that movie just keeps getting pushed back and back and back, over and over and over. I do want to see it, though. Mark Wahlberg's still attached. Rob Marshall is reportedly Disney's top choice to direct the live-action Little Mermaid movie. Jeffrey Tambor says that he hasn't left Transparent, even though his earlier statement said that he was leaving. So I guess he's still on board for now. The Are You Afraid of the Dark movie is coming to 2019. James Mangold is set to direct a Patty Hearst drama. Elle Fanning is in talks to star. Detective Pikachu. Remember, they're making a Pokemon movie about Detective Pikachu? Well, guess who's going to be playing Pikachu? Deadpool himself, Ryan Reynolds. Yes, who's reportedly going to be voicing, doing motion capture, and playing Detective Pikachu. This news, when it was announced, made me look at my calendar and go, is it April 1st? Because I thought for sure this was a joke when I read it. I was like, who's messing around on the internet right now? But no, it's true. It's true. It's damn true. Ryan Reynolds will be Detective Pikachu in the upcoming movie. Oh, what a world we live in. Mel Brooks, Christopher Lloyd, Keenan, and Jacob Tremblay are set to star in a new untitled 3D animated picture that they're putting together. Jack Dylan Grazer, who was one of the kids from the It movie a couple months ago, he's just joined the cast of Shazam. So that's a cool casting. I like this kid. All right. Dexter Fletcher is the new director that has been hired to replace Bryan Singer to finish up the Bohemian Rhapsody Queen movie. I don't know much about Dexter to sit and bring up. What I do know is that he was somebody that tried to direct this movie a couple years ago. He wanted to do it. He was on the short list to do it, and they gave the project to Bryan Singer. So it looks like they pulled out that old school short list and said, who did we pass up to give this movie to Bryan? And Dexter was the guy available to say, sure, I'll come in and finish the last 3 weeks of shooting and wrap this movie up. What's going to be interesting is to see who gets directing credit on this thing, because if Bryan Singer really has basically finished this movie, even if Dexter Fletcher comes in for a couple weeks and does a little bit of reshoots, I don't see that being enough for him to take over the directing credit. I think this thing's still going to say directed by Bryan Singer, but we'll have to wait and see on this. But congratulations to Dexter Fletcher for getting the job. He did direct Eddie the Eagle, by the way, which I heard great things about. I did not see it. The new Ridley Scott movie, All the Money in the World, has been moved to Christmas Day. So it comes out on December 25th now. Justice League cinematographer says that Superman's black suit was in the original Zack Snyder cut of the movie. He says there were scenes filmed with that black suit. So we didn't see it. Unfortunately, it was cut out. Hopefully one day we will get that director's cut, but we'll have to wait and see at this point. Alrighty. Let's see. Game of Thrones. The final season will not air until 2019. So yeah, take a year off, baby. We have your first look at some photos from X-Men Dark Phoenix. Some pretty damn cool set photos from the new X-Men movie. We will have to wait and see. Hopefully this means a trailer is dropping soon, because once magazine covers start coming out, it usually means a trailer is not far behind. PlayStation 4 sales have surpassed 70 million units worldwide, which is pretty awesome. Kathleen Kennedy says she would love to have Thor Ragnarok director Taika Waititi direct a Star Wars movie. That would be pretty crazy. But if they fired Lord and Miller from doing the Han Solo movie, I don't see Taika Waititi handling a Star Wars movie and making it all the way through without getting fired. Because if they don't want to make a big jokey Star Wars movie, I don't see... I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he would take it really serious to do a Star Wars movie. But I love Taika. I just don't see the fit with Star Wars. But it's funny that Kathleen Kennedy does. All right. Master of None star Lena Waithe has joined the Dear White People TV show that's on Netflix. Square Enix has officially announced a third Tomb Raider game is on the way. Marvel has announced a Secret Warriors animated film that they're putting together, so that's pretty cool. We have your first look at Jason Momoa's Aquaman in the Aquaman solo movie. Looks pretty much just like he did in in Justice League, just he's not underwater in this scene. That it's like one picture of him walking down. It looks like a boat, like submarine tunnel or something. Starz has revealed the official Howard's End trailer, and its premiere will be at the end of the month. There's been a lot of controversy about Johnny Depp playing Grindelwald in the new Fantastic Beasts movie. The director has already spoke out about it. Now J.K. Rowling has talked about it. So we have the article up with J.K. talking about that. Warner Brothers is planning to restructure its DC Films division. Ben Affleck at this point is expected to stay on for the Flashpoint movie, but they're saying he probably won't be in the solo movie that Matt Reeves is doing. So we probably will get one more Ben Affleck movie in Flashpoint. Which I'm looking forward to, because I think Flashpoint is going to kind of be a mini Justice League movie in a way. This restructured, there's not much details to it. It says we'll probably find out more in January, but they're just shifting some people's titles around. They're moving some new people around, and we'll see. You know, they're going to try something new once again, with the fact that Justice League definitely underperformed at the box office from what we all thought it would do. Ubisoft has delayed two of its upcoming games, Far Cry 5 and The Crew 2, as well as another unannounced title, but they are delayed. Andy Matichak has joined the cast of the new Halloween movie that they're filming right now. She's going to be playing Jamie Lee Curtis's granddaughter in the new movie. The Pet Sematary remake has been given a 2019 release date. Looking forward to that one. The first full trailer for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom has arrived. Got that trailer up. I liked it a lot. Some people didn't like it. A lot of people thought it was very spoiler heavy. There's some cool scenes in there that everybody's like, oh, that's going to be the end of the movie. They just gave it away. And the funny thing is that the director came out and he said, you know what? Everything you see in that trailer is the first hour of the movie. So he kind of shut down all those people right away, man. I even got people like Peeps and other people that are like, man, these trailers give everything away. And I'm like, it's only the first hour of the film. So I love that. I love that they kind of swerved everybody and tricked, because it does look like that they gave away a lot of stuff, but they're like, no, we didn't. We're saving a lot. I thought it was a cool trailer. It was a good starting point. It looks like a fun action movie. Andre Ovredal is set to direct Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. So cool. cool. Let's see. We have all of your winners from the Game Awards 2017, and some breakdown of the trailers that they showed that night at the awards. Jessica Chastain, we have an interview up with her talking about her top secret X-Men role. She will not reveal who the hell she's playing, even though we all think she's Lilandra, but they don't want to give that up. I don't know why. Just say who the hell she is. You know what I mean? We have a cast breakdown for the new Queer Eye that's getting a revival this February over on Netflix. An article up with Rian Johnson talking about Star Wars The Last Jedi, his new trilogy, and more. The Terror teaser trailer from AMC and Ridley Scott has dropped. Olaf's Frozen Adventure. We talked about this on last week's show, how it's pissing everybody off that when it plays in front of Coco. It's officially been removed from Coco now, and it will make its broadcast television debut on ABC on Thursday, December 14th. So set those DVRs for the people that do care about Olaf and Anna and Elsa. Patrick Stewart said that he's open to returning as Jean-Luc Picard in Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek movie. He says, hey, if Tarantino's doing it, I'll come back and play that role. So that would be interesting to see. We have your first look at the Robin Hood movie starring Taron Egerton. You can take a look at that. Big Little Lies has been renewed for season 2. That's pretty awesome right there. This was a fun show that was on HBO, and nobody thought it was going to come back for a second season. Even the actors on the show didn't think so. So it's good to see it did get renewed after a lot of push. The brand new trailer, first trailer, for Alita Battle Angel dropped. And I think it looks pretty damn cool. It's a little teaser trailer. You know, it doesn't give away too much, but the visuals look very cool. This is produced by James Cameron. This was a passion project of James that he wanted to make himself for so many years. And once he decided, I'm going to make Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5, he said, all right, I think somebody else needs to make this movie. So he gave it to Robert Rodriguez, and he produced it. Robert Rodriguez directed it. It looks pretty damn badass. I love the trailer. I threw up my review right away on Stardust. Check out that trailer if you haven't seen it yet. It's on our Twitter and Facebook page. David Harbour calls the new Hellboy reboot a monster movie that's dark and scary. That's awesome. I like the sound of that. We also have the brand new trailers, the final trailer for Maze Runner, The Death Cure. So we're going to finally get that third part of the trilogy there. Final trailer released for that. Supergirl and DC's Legends of Tomorrow are going to be taking turns debuting new episodes in 2018. Now, this whole thing is really weird. Give me a second to try to break it down for you, because I don't like what they're doing here at all. It's very, very weird. So, as you know, they're on mid-season break right now, right? When they come back, they're going to kind of rotate. So, Supergirl comes back from its break on Monday, January 15th. It will run for 4 weeks straight of brand new episodes. Then starting Monday, February 12th, Legends of Tomorrow will come back, and it will run for 9 weeks until its season finale on April 9th. Then after Legends finishes on April 9th, The following week on April 16th, Supergirl will come back and then be on every week until its season finale on June 18th. Wow. Talk about being stupid. This is so dumb, CW. You have 5 nights a week that you could put something on. Why are we rotating Supergirl and Legends? I thought it was weird because when the season finale is finished, you know, Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow all said they were coming back in January. And then Legends finished and said, we're back in February. And I'm like, February? Why are they off so long? Because they're taking an extra month. But it's like, you're going to give Supergirl 4 episodes. Then it's going to be off the air for 9 weeks while you do 9 weeks of Legends. Why not? Why aren't you doing 4, then 4, then 4, then 4? Like alternate, like you said you were going to do. Instead, they're doing 4, then they're doing 9, then they're going to come back with another 6. This is so damn stupid, man. Just run the damn show simultaneously. Put Legends on a different night if you have to. And just let it play out. Just let it play out. This is dumb. And I don't want to, you know, I'm already getting a mid-season break for Supergirl. I have to wait over a month to see some new episodes. Then I'm only going to get 4 weeks, and then it's going to be off again for like 3 months. I don't get it. I don't like it. This is stupid. CW is also going to have some other shows debuting during the mid-season. Black Lightning will premiere Tuesday, January 16th, and a new show called Life Sentence actually doesn't even have a date set for its premiere yet. But yeah, this is so, so stupid. So wrap your head around that one. Louis C.K. has bought the rights back for his new movie, I Love You, Daddy, back from the distributor. Remember, this movie was supposed to come out this month, and then they got canceled after his sexual misconduct allegations, so he bought it back himself. Laura Schmidt Hisrich is set to develop The Witcher for Netflix. This is based on the novels by Polish author Andrzej Sapkowski. Dave Bautista is set to star in a new film called Stuber. I was like, what the fuck is Stuber? And I looked into it, and basically he's like a cop, and he takes an Uber, which, of course, it's a comedy, and the Uber driver's all crazy, and they get tangled up in some kind of chase, and yeah, it sounds kind of lame, but I love Bautista, and if it's going to be like this kind of action cop buddy comedy, I can kind of dig that, and it would be fun to see Bautista do like a straight-up comedy like this, so I like it. Richard Donner claims that Lethal Weapon 5 is just inches away from a go-ahead. I'm loving it, man. I love Lethal Weapon. The first 4 movies are great. I would love to see a 5th one. I'm a big fan of this franchise. I watch the new TV show every week on Fox. The TV show is great. It sucks that they play the same characters because I would love to see them interact with each other if they weren't playing the same people. But yeah, pretty awesome there. So it looks like that's going to end up happening. Welcome to Night Vale is a podcast that's set to be turned into a series over on FX. Hey, FX, when's Am I on the Air going to get its television show? Come on, man, come calling. Matt Shankman is set to direct TriStar's adaptation of The Phantom Tollbooth based on the classic children's book. Dark Phoenix. Once again, some news on the Dark Phoenix. Magneto's mutant island, Genosha, will appear in the new X-Men movie. That's pretty crazy right there, man. They're going deep. They're going deep nerdy on that bitch right there. We got an article up that explains every upcoming Marvel Cinematic Universe movie and TV show that's in the works coming up soon. We have the first official trailer for the X-Files Season 11 that you can check out. We have the first trailer for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. This is the new animated Sony Spider-Man movie that comes out at Christmas next year, focused on the Miles Morales Spider-Man, but since it's called Into the Spider-Verse, guess it, you guessed right, it also contains other Spider-Men in it. This is a very short little teaser, kind of just hints at a couple things. I'm not a fan of this animation style that this trailer is made out of. Some people do like it. I think it looks cheesy and cheap to me, but hey, maybe it'll grow on me. I'll have to see another trailer. I'm sure I'll take my daughter to go see it, because it's Spider-Man. But yeah, I just don't understand why this movie's even getting a theatrical release. we finally found out Netflix has announced that Jessica Jones, Marvel's Jessica Jones Season 2, is getting a premiere date on March 8th. So that is when all the episodes will drop for Jessica Jones. So March 8th, pretty decent drop spot there for it. We usually do get a Netflix Marvel show every March, so we'll take that one there. Blade Runner 2049, we got some DVD and digital release dates. You can own it on digital December 26th, and the Blu-ray will drop on January 16th. What also came with Jessica Jones's date announcement was a little teaser trailer of the second season, so we got that posted up for you to check out as well. Star Wars The Last Jedi had its world premiere over the weekend, and of course, the review embargo is still going on, but they allowed people to tweet their reactions, and everything has been overwhelmingly positive. Everything's been a major praise. Reactions say it's one of the best of the series. Several people said it's the best, hands-down, Star Wars movie ever. Lots of surprises, lots of twists and turns, things you never see coming. People are raving about this thing. I'm so excited. I will be seeing it in IMAX this Friday night on opening night. I cannot wait. It's going to be massive. Massive. Congratulations to Justice League finally passing the $600 million worldwide mark this past weekend. Hannibal Buress was arrested for disorderly intoxication in Miami over the weekend. We have the brand new Ready Player One trailer. This trailer was pretty tight. I liked the first trailer that came out for it, but this one was really, really cool. Got me stoked to get a better visual for what the movie's going to be about. You finally get a little bit of the story. Looking very forward to Ready Player One. So love this trailer. Check that out if you haven't seen it. Yeah, let me see here. We already went over the Golden Globes. And sorry, bear with me for just a second. The director of the Venom movie, Ruben Fleischer, has announced that the Venom movie is actually based on two comic book storylines. It is actually being based on Venom, Lethal Protector, and Planet of the Symbiotes. So very, very interesting there. The Lethal Protector storyline was first published in 1993. In the series, Venom went from outright villain to cultural anti-hero and moved his escapades away from New York to the city of San Francisco. Furthermore, Venom is kidnapped by the infamous Life Foundation, where they're able to create five offspring from Venom to make their own symbiote super soldiers. In the closing of the story, Venom teams up with Spider-Man to take down the other symbiotes. The Planet of the Symbiotes storyline was published 2 years later, penned once again by the same writer, and saw Venom teaming with Spider-Man and the Scarlet Spider to investigate some symbiote-related murders that he believed to be committing himself. Upon further investigation, the trio discovers the five symbiotes from the Lethal Protector storyline who are building a teleporter to another planet already overridden with symbiotes. To make things even more interesting, the serial killer Cletus Cassidy is being released from prison and bonding once again with Carnage. Ooh, baby. So, of course, we don't find out how much is being used or what parts of the stories, but their story revolves around a couple different things from those. I hope that we do get Carnage in this thing. We've got no confirmation, but there's been a lot of rumors to it, and being that one of those storylines actually has Carnage in it, I hope that that is a piece of it. So looking forward to Venom. Can't wait to get my first pictures or any kind of footage from that thing. Fuller House Season 3 Part 2 is going to be available on Netflix December 22nd. Hugh Jackman comments on the potential Disney-Fox deal. I know a lot of people are saying, hey, if this goes through, you're going to come back as Wolverine? He's kind of playing coy at this point. He's like, I don't know, they'll probably bring in a new Wolverine at this point. He's excited. He's a little bummed that it's happening after the fact when he already said goodbye to the role. I say never say never in this business, man. You never know what would happen. Even if they want to do a new Wolverine, it'd be kind of cool if in the fourth Avengers movie, they use some kind of time gem, and then Hugh Jackman's there, and then by the time when everything's reset, it's not Hugh Jackman anymore, it's someone else. Who knows? They could do some cool stuff, man. Come on. The author of the Ready Player One novel says that he's working on a sequel book to go along with it, and he's even talking with Steven Spielberg about some things to do in it, obviously in case they want to make a second movie, so that's pretty cool there. Suicide Squad 2 is now expected to begin filming in October, which is pretty cool. Seth Rogen is set to play Walter Cronkite in David Gordon Green's new movie Newsflash. Apple has acquired Shazam. They purchased out the rights to that. A new Creed director has been chosen. This is pretty interesting news that actually just dropped today. We had already reported that Sylvester Stallone was going to direct Creed 2. He said it himself. But it looks now that Stallone and Michael B. Jordan have handpicked another young filmmaker to take the reins. Best known for directing 2016 skateboarding drama The Land, Stephen Caple Jr. is now set to be the new Creed 2 director. He is working from a script by Stallone and Luke Cage showrunner Chio Hodari Coker. Production will begin this coming March with a release date of November. That one's going fast, man. They're going to start making this thing in March, and it's going to come out in November, all within a couple months of each other. Woo! That's crazy. The people behind it said, "We could not be more fortunate and excited for the collaboration of Steven, Sly, Michael, and the producers to build upon the success of Creed. The combination of Steven's talent and unique vision make him the perfect director to continue the Rocky franchise storied lineage. It's an honor to be part of such an iconic franchise and to work with such great collaborators," Caple said. "Mike, Sly, and Tessa are extraordinarily talented and bring something special to today's culture. I look forward to joining the family and continuing the precedent set by this franchise's alumni of incredible filmmakers. We recognize Steven's talent for telling ambitious stories with incredible heart in The Land. We are confident that what he will bring to Creed 2 will result in a story that resonates with audiences all over the world." Stallone came out. He said, "The character of Adonis Creed reflects this generation, and I believe it is important to have a director who is a part of it. That is why I think we are lucky to have Stephen Caple Jr., a wonderful new talent, to take over the directorial chores and make the story as relatable as possible. He and Michael B. Jordan will deliver a knockout." And Michael B. Jordan tweeted, "Excited for Coogler to hand over the reins to Stephen Caple Jr., our director for Creed 2. Can't wait to bring you guys to the next chapter of our story. Coming at you November 2018. So, pretty interesting there, man. Stallone was supposed to do it. Now I guess that, you know, they're saying that, you know, let's bring in a young filmmaker to make the movie relatable to Michael B. Jordan, since he's a younger dude, and maybe he felt like he wasn't just the right fit anymore to do it. So, very interesting that he kind of was there and then backed out. But hey, everything's still moving along as schedule. I don't know anything about this new director. I was looking forward, actually, to Sly doing it, but I'll take it, man. You know, we'll give it a chance, as always. Alright? So, with that being said, that is the end of our news this week. We have actually gone a bit over. We just hit the hour mark, so thanks for giving me the little overrun time. That was because we spent so much time diving into the Golden Globes. So we'll go over to our release dates and box office, and we'll wrap this baby up. Out on DVD and Blu-ray tomorrow is Kingsman: The Golden Circle, Detroit, and Home Again. In theaters this Friday is a little movie called Star Wars: The Last Jedi. I don't know if any of you heard of it. It's going to be very limited release. And Ferdinand. So definitely seeing Ferdinand this weekend. Weekend box office. Coming in number 10, it's Just Getting Started. That was a debut, by the way. Coming in number 10 with 3.2 mil. Bomb. Number 9 is Lady Bird with 3.5. Number 8 is The Star with 3.7. Number 7 is Murder on the Orient Express with 5.1. Number 6 is Daddy's Home 2 with 6 million. Number 5 is Thor Ragnarok with 6.3 million. Number 4 is The Disaster Artist, making a nice 6.4. Now, some of you might be saying, The Disaster Artist only made 6.4 and it's only number 4, but that's good. It is good because this movie's still in limited release and it was only playing in like 800 theaters. Most wide movies are playing in 2, 3, or 4,000 screens. Disaster Artist was only playing in 800 and it still made $6.5 million and made fourth place in the box office. So if it was in more theaters, it probably would have been number one. Coming in number three, it's Wonder with $8.5 million. Number two is Justice League with $9.6 million. And number one, once again, was Coco with $18.3 million. So there you have it, my friends. That is the box office. That's our release dates. Like I said, I am seeing Star Wars The Last Jedi on Friday in IMAX, so we'll definitely have a review for you on the next episode of Am I on the Air. Probably have a spoiler review for you, as we always do. We'll definitely have to get the gang together and do an Am I Still on the Air. My brother's coming to visit. Maybe I'll do something with him on it, since he'll be living with me for 2 weeks. You know, and we'll definitely do a little something. Maybe even do a special YouTube video on it. Who knows? But to watch the YouTube videos, because you got to support me, man. I put a lot of time, put these videos together. And you got to subscribe. You got to check out the channel, youtube.com/amionthear. All right, it's plug time. Let's wrap this baby up. Amiontheair.com is the official webpage. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/amiontheair. Follow us on Twitter at Am I On The Air. Follow me on Twitter at DXDonMega. We are available on iTunes. We're available on Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Google Play Music. We're on all the different networks there, so you should be able to find the podcast pretty damn easy. Once again, follow me on Stardust at DonMega. You can also follow us on Instagram at Am I On The Air. And, of course, our great affiliates at RedDragonsRadio.com. Follow on Twitter at RedDragonsRadio. So you always know what's going down with all the great podcasts out there. Yeah. I think that's going to do it for us. So wrapping this baby up on this December the 11th, I hope you all have a great week. Thanks for joining me once again as we dived into all the latest and greatest of the entertainment news this week. And until next time, y'all. Peace!
Bye, everybody. Red Dragons! Red Dragons!